You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology and more to help you list more, sell more and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent Magazine. It was announced a couple of weeks ago that Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate will be hitting the shores of Australia and New Zealand later this year. You might be familiar with the magazine and the TV show, but not so much the real estate brand. So we decided to find out a bit more from US Better Homes and Gardens CEO, Sherry Criss, and Australian project lead, Simon Cashman. All right, so welcome, Sherry.
Thank you so much, Sam. It's great to talk to you today, and we're very excited.
Yeah, absolutely. And welcome, Simon.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks very much for having us here.
Brilliant. So we're here to talk about the launch of the Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate brand in Australia. So Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate hasn't been in Australia before. So Sherry, can you firstly give us a bit of background to the Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate brand in the US and some of the other Northern Hemisphere countries that the brand's already in?
Absolutely. And so we launched the Better Homes and Gardens real estate brand in July of 2008. So we'll be celebrating our 10th anniversary in a couple of months, and we're looking forward to that. We started the brand as a pure play startup. We had no brokers, no agents. We started from scratch back in 2008, and during this almost 10-year time frame, we've grown into about 350 offices, 40 states, and almost 12,000 agents in the U.S., and that growth continues. What we wanted to do was build a foundation in the U.S. first based on the strength of the brand overall, and the brand itself has 96% brand awareness here, and it's a very, very well-known brand, as it is in Australia as well, and we're going to talk about that in a few moments. So as we celebrate our 10th anniversary, today we are in the U.S., we're in Canada, we're in the Bahamas, in Jamaica, and of course we'll be launching in Australia and New Zealand in the months and years to come. So it's been exciting growth.
Which we're very excited to hear as well. I mean, a lot of people here are familiar with the TV show and the magazine, so I think the brand is very well recognized here. But on the topic of the brand, how is Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate, the brand, different to, say, other brands in the US like Remax and Century 21 and brands like that? Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate is very different. I mean, you and I have talked about it before, but just for the benefits of the listeners, can you give us a bit of an overview?
Absolutely, Sam. And so when we think about Better Homes and Gardens as a brand, it's a lifestyle brand. And today's consumer is buying lifestyle and community. And so we see ourselves as the most relevant brand in real estate. And that's because we're able to capture the interest of the consumer at a very early stage based on the wonderful content in the magazine and video content and online content. Because today's consumer starts dreaming early on, and they're dreaming through visuals and video content about what they want the next phase of their lives to look like. And so with that, we're a lifestyle brand. We go well beyond the transaction itself and really help people move on to the next phase of their lives. With the magazine, we have an incredible relationship with Meredith Corporation, and that is the publicly traded company that owns the Better Homes and Gardens magazine, along with about 19 other publications. The magazine here has a targeted audience of 44 million readers every month. So it's very, very well known. I mentioned the 96% brand awareness earlier. When we think about ourselves as a real estate brand, we launched a values-driven brand. So our values, our passion, authenticity, inclusion, growth, and excellence. And that's unique within our industry as well. Our tools and resources, our marketing, technology, communication, and learning is unique and really speaks to the lifestyle component of the brand. Our promise to our consumer is that they should expect better, and our promise to our agents and brokers is to be better for them. Finally, I'll say that I believe we are a brand with a soul. We have a strong relationship with a charity that builds homes around the world for homeless people and families called New Story. And we have a very strong relationship with them and giving back to not just our own communities here, but giving back to the world and helping people achieve the dream of home ownership. So that's sort of our brand in an abbreviated version.
Yeah, the whole community piece is really lovely. And I guess that's going to be my next question for Simon now is, will the brand be the same in Australia? Will it still have a relationship with the TV show, the magazine, and that sort of thing?
Yeah, we're actually very lucky. We've got a great new relationship with Pacific Magazines, who really understand how massive this opportunity is. And with a joint commitment between us, we've got a great future, I think, for real estate to flourish in their magazine. Mm. And part of that relationship entitles us to display property pages as part of the magazine run every month. So just imagine, that's over 2.5 million readers across the whole country. So imagine at every Coles, Woolworths, counter and newsagents, and typically your doctors or your dental surgeries, readers will pick up a Better Homes and Gardens magazine. They'll turn to the real estate listing section and view our properties in print and online as well. So that's sort of a reach and exposure that's unattainable by any other current real estate magazine. And I've worked with quite a few in my time, so I look at that as an amazing and an exciting opportunity to get that stretch. So on top of that, just so you know, we'll be able to offer at the open home attendees a subscription to the magazine. You'll be able to register at the open home, and then by default, automatically, we'll congratulate you and thank you for your registration, and you'll be gifted with a 3-month subscription.
Nice.
We'll also purchase a number of magazines with a real estate cover on them to be available in the offices. So for a passerby to walk past and pick them up. And every buyer and seller will also be gifted with a long subscription as well.
It's like content marketing on steroids, isn't it?
Yeah, we're sort of covering
exactly.
Every place, I think.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So why was the time now to bring it to Australia? I mean, Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate's been in the US for a long time. Mm-hmm. What made the time right now to bring this brand to Australia and New Zealand?
Yeah, look, in my opinion, industry is going through a bit of an evolutionary change right now. And your prop tech survivors, as I call them, they're starting to find their groove as well now. But one of the big things BHG recognises is that there's an opportunity here in focusing on the importance of successful, hardworking professional women in real estate. So yeah, there are changes afoot, and consumer perception is certainly one of them. They're understanding so much more. So for me, there's a real gap here for a full service business that's warm and friendly and inviting, that offer more than just a property transaction, but everything you need to be done that's associated with your property. So you can't help but see Better Homes and Gardens as a very unique way to start servicing properties for the consumers. So we all appreciate these days that the consumer is much better educated in real estate activity and across market trends as such. They read all the magazines that we're in. So it's now the job of what we're calling the BHGRE professional service operator who understands their needs, and they can deliver without the pressure of the online or the hard sell. Imagine, you know, you follow the seasons and all the trends and all the stories that are aligned with the broader Better Homes and Gardens media offering. They give a real estate service person a genuine purpose to offer ongoing support to their homeowner. What I'm trying to say is not a predictable phone call or a letterbox drop if you're thinking of selling, you know, which we do so well over here. Rather, it's a BHG agent who can reach out at the right time and offer you a service that you need. So what I mean is they can offer you landscaping when it needs to be done. It might be time to refresh your daughter's bedroom. It might be the person to give you the right advice on a renovation tip. So these are the real touch points that our team will be remembered for, and with reason. So dare I say, I'm pretty confident that when that person is ready to sell, they'll call the person who's been with them on that whole journey, helping them maintain and sustain the value of their biggest asset. And that's integral.
So say I'm a real estate agent in Australia, and I want to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. I want to be a part of Better Homes and Gardens in Australia. What's the franchise model going to look like?
Right now we're building our team, and we're seeking out quality people at a corporate and at a shop level, where service is paramount and should come naturally. The rest is, as we know, the education and the ongoing training and the good support network, which we're putting in place. So right now we're building the hype. And since our PR started last week with our landing page in place, we've received a flood of interest from many corners of the country, which is fantastic. So to answer your question, we'll be holding a launch event in a few months' time, and we'll extend the invitation to anyone who is interested in joining us. And as I said, between now and then, I will be continually in communication with those parties who are showing interest. and the intention is then to be opening up offices in the last quarter of this year. So that's quite a strategic play. We're already talking to New Zealand offices who are keen, and we know this brand will actually really work in New Zealand.
So will I need a shopfront? Like, am I able to join as a real estate agent with a team, as a virtual agent, or do I need a shopfront?
I think it's both. I think it's going to be two-tiered. You know what I mean? There's certainly a demand for a shopfront, and we've got some really very good ideas around that. I think the shopfront that we're creating is going to be a very warm, rich colour palette that is very inviting when you walk in. There'll be booths you'll be able to sit at, or a kiosk you can sit at. You'll be able to get yourself a coffee. You'll be able to download a podcast or maybe an episode of the show, or maybe something from the magazine that you've read last week, and take that away without that approach from a real estate agent coming at you. So we want people to come and feel welcome in our environment as first and foremost, and the furnishings and the decor will certainly exhibit that. So there is still a demand, I think, for the shopfront. We're looking at other more innovative, contemporary ways as well of doing that, the pop-ups, which are a great way of doing things as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting, Sherry, because remember you and I talked 5 years ago about this whole question of the shopfront. And I know that in terms of innovation, Better Homes and Gardens real estate in the US has always been very innovative. And I remember you were looking at this project, looking at the next generation of real estate companies in the US. Yeah. And I remember we talked about a lot of things 5 years ago where I asked you to look into the crystal ball 5 years from now. And they're all pretty on the money, actually. We talked about things like office space and not being terribly important, that agents would be more mobile, that they would find simple ways to use technology to their advantage, that social media would be at the core of their business, and that they're all practicing extreme customer service. So first of all, do you have lotto numbers for this week?
It's a big one off tomorrow, isn't it? 230 million. Thank you to our US friends.
You have a good memory with all of this.
Yeah, I was just joking there, Sherry. But they were so on the money. What do you think it's all going to look like in the next 5 years? Like, you're considered such a thought leader in the US, and I hope we do see you, you know, because Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate are legendary for their training in the US of agents. So I hope we do see more of you. But getting back to the question is, what do you see for the next 5 years? How would you like to see the brand evolve down here?
I do have some predictions. And actually, you know, before I go there, I want to just say that I agree with everything that Simon has said. And in my earlier predictions back in 2012, where I said office space was not important, what I really meant then was that traditional office space, like having a cubicle, individual cubicles, that wasn't important. But, you know, agents were and certainly are today looking for a place to gather. And, you know, the first thing that I'll say that has changed is that everyone wants a deeper relationship today. So the consumer wants a deeper relationship with the agent. They want to build trust with an agent. The agent wants that with the broker, et cetera, et cetera. And so that is one major change that's taken place. And this brand really speaks well to that. And, you know, what Simon is building is spot on for the future. And I couldn't be more excited to travel there sometime within the next few months and assist with the launch. But Sam, I do have 10 predictions, if you'll allow me. I'll go quickly. So for the next 5 years, number one is that it always comes down to communication. And one thing that I've noticed certainly throughout my career, but more recently, is the fact that things fall apart with a lack of communication. And, you know, it really speaks to what I just mentioned, where everyone is looking for a deeper relationship and, you know, authentic and transparent communication. So that's going to become more important. The reason why that is important is because when we think about the increasing sophistication of technology, that human element is going to be even more important than ever. So that's number one. Number two is that, you know how we've talked about the millennials and Gen X and Gen Z, the baby boomers for all of these years? That's all going to merge together. So consumer segments, as we call them, they're not going to be statistically defined in the future. It will be all about humans. So human beings will evolve, and we need to stop putting ourselves into different categories. So that's an important trend. Number three, we have to become more efficient. There's so much going on out there, and the point of diminishing returns is quickly reached. We need to recognize and work hard on making our companies more efficient. And there, of course, are many ways to do that. So efficiency, number three.
So what are some of the ways that you can be more efficient today?
You use technology as an efficiency. So, you know, we get all hung up on the level of sophistication with technology and what it can do and what it can't do. Technology is an enabler. It allows us to be more efficient in our day-to-day lives. Think about what we do with our phones every day. We book restaurant reservations. We buy things online. We search for new products or services that we want to use. We really are becoming more efficient as human beings around the world, and we need to make sure that we take those efficiencies and use them in our businesses as well.
I think you're absolutely correct, Sherry. And one of the things that is important at a corporate level supporting its offices is to provide those efficiencies and support them well so they feel that their time, which is incredibly valuable, that they're making the most of that time. Where does an agent make his money? He makes it at the end of the scale. So how do we help them at the beginning of the scale to not waste time chasing leads?
And couple that with creating deeper relationships. Things are getting complicated, but, you know, those are some of my predictions. I have a few more.
Absolutely. Let's go.
Okay. So data will drive everything. So we hear about predictive analytics. There's also prescriptive analytics. And so predictive is taking the history of what we do online and looking at it. So, you know, prescriptive is taking it to the next level, and that's actually figuring out what to do with all of the data that we're gathering. That's where the strong technology within real estate brokerages and brands is going to be very important, because we will figure out, and it'll tie back to the efficiency piece, who is at the top of the funnel that we need to contact and deal with now, who's wanting to do something quickly as far as making a move. So technology will become more and more sophisticated as the months and years go on. But we can't lose sight of the relationship. Simon, do you agree? Sam?
150%. The huge rise in artificial intelligence and the power that is in that. And this is a real special thing close to my heart, that AI is incredibly innovative. It's not, you know, robots walking down the street serving you. It's deeper learning. And you talk about efficiencies, how things like AI will, in the very close future, not very far away at all, will actually be able to serve many industries, but certainly real estate.
Next is an interesting one. Collaboration is the new competitive advantage. And so what I mean there is that the individuals and companies that openly share will end up being the beneficiary of more great ideas and how to implement them. So if you think about our industry as it is today, we don't like to share. We want to keep all of our secrets in-house. My thought here is that we need to collaborate with one another to create a new level and benchmark of best practices. So Sam, Simon, you agree with that?
100%, Sherry. Yeah.
I 100% agree too, actually. What I see is that people sacrifice here the consumer experience for keeping their data to themselves. So if I'm a consumer in a neighbourhood, I might get three different pieces of mail, same piece of mail, whether it's digital or on paper, from different real estate agents in the same office. That happens.
Gone are the days of siloing and monitoring and hanging on and coveting your own data and your own client base. The clever, the smart agents out there, they're already getting that.
There's a guy called Peter Sheehan, actually, that lives in the States. He wrote a book called Flip years ago.
He's speaking
at ARIC this year. And one of his famous quotes in that book is, to get control, give it up.
Yeah.
And I think in terms of data, I think that's, you know, that's definitely part of the puzzle, I think.
And think about this next one. Treat culture and core values as true assets in your business. Invest in them as you would any growth strategy. So today, people are looking to align themselves with companies that stand for something. So your culture is incredibly important, and the values that you stand for are equally as important. So to say that it doesn't matter is absolutely wrong. It does matter. Next, the era of the one-size-fits-all brokerage model is over. So now we have many different types of models. We have virtual brokerages, bricks and mortar brokerages, flat fee, discount, all sorts of different types of models. And so my idea here is that that's fine. We need to acknowledge that it's not one size fits all and all work together, learn from each other. What are the best practices of different models that we can bring into our companies?
Yes, absolutely. Now the dust is settling around this, there are aspects of the way these businesses are run that, you know, the wise, quiet ones are acknowledging and saying, well, you know what, we could probably employ some of those tactics in our own model and vice versa.
I think what we're seeing is everyone's accepted that one size doesn't fit all as far as the consumer's concerned. And mm-hmm. now everyone is starting to accept that one size doesn't fit all as far as employees are concerned. So now we've got to talk about employee experience as well as consumer experience,
yeah.
EX and CX. And then that naturally goes on to say, well, one business model doesn't fit all either, because what makes one person successful is working the way that they want to work.
One size fits all is restrictive by definition. We all had the same size pair of shoes to wear, well, it'd be very restricting.
There you go, there it is. To get control, give it up.
Give up those shoes to me when I leave here, Sam.
I'm not giving up my shoes. All right, next prediction, Sherry.
Next, I've just got a few more left. You know, and this one is just straight business sense. If you take the risk of owning a brokerage business, you deserve to make a profit and build a saleable and valuable asset. And, you know, I mean, this may be more U.S. oriented, but there have been so many companies that have formed where everybody's making a lot of money with the exception of the broker owner. And so my point here is that let's structure our businesses in a fair and profitable way.
I mean, speaking of that, because in Australia, the value in a real estate business is often in the rent roll. Will the Better Homes and Gardens real estate brand extend to property management?
Absolutely, yes. We're a full service business.
Okay, cool.
Good. Okay, just two more. Number nine is that socially responsible brands with a point of view will resonate deeply with both the consumer and agents. So that's the giving back piece. It's standing for something. It's actually working to make the world a better place. And more consumers are drawn to brands that actually stand for something and give back to the world. So to me personally, this is a very important one. My final comment here is that if we think about broker owners in the future, they will be more nimble, visionary, and able to adapt to change in light speed. And those will be the only brokers who will be successful in the future.
So when you say adapt to change, are we talking technological change? Are we talking change in society?
I think diversity and the ability to understand your environment around you beyond your workplace is a rich tapestry mm-hmm. that you need to have in your life. Too many people in real estate and other businesses are afraid of change because they don't understand it. I think the future real estate broker or agent needs to be, as we've said before, a service offering person who knows how to do everything. So when I'm in your lounge room, I'm not just talking to you about property. I'm talking to you about what's going on in the world, and I actually get it and I understand it. And if I'm that sort of person, I'm seen as being very broad and diverse and the sort of person that no matter what problem I have during the journey of the sale of my home, you're going to be able to handle it. You'll be able to manage all those challenges.
Let's hope they read the brief then.
It's exciting times on the horizon, that's for certain.
Well, it is a very exciting time and we're very excited for you both. So thank you for your time this morning to talk to us about it. Simon Cashman, thank you.
Great. Thank
and
you very
Sherry
much,
Chris, we hope to see you in Australia soon.
Absolutely. Thanks to both of you.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.